have a question for you guys before we get started.
Oh, yes.
Pets. Why are they assholes?
Oh, is this a cow problem?
This is a cow problem.
Because right now, I know that Courtney has about, what is it? What is the count of cats up to now?
Technically, it's three of my own, but in my apartment uptown, it's nine.
Oh, my God.
I don't think we can complain about our small dogs, Joe, anymore.
Yeah, my mother moved in with me, so I moved in with my boyfriend, but I still have my place, but she has six cats and I have three.
Oh, my gosh. Oh, my gosh. Are they all young or, like, just all different ages?
You know, we're, like, one to all the way to, like, seven or eight. So, like, it's varying.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Well,
that's
never mind.
That's my handle is Courtney Kitty because I have a million cats.
And there's the explanation. Yeah, my puppy has been really good for the past 2 days, and then today he just decided to be a complete and total asshole, and I'm like, well, what is going on with you? So right before the pod, I was like, you're going into the crate. We are not dealing with this today.
See, if I put him in the crate, that's when he starts to act up more.
Really?
So that's when Scooter starts to get mad, but we'll
Scooter!
See.
Scooter!
Scooter. The Scooter.
Good old Scooter. But now I feel bad for complaining since you have nine cats, Courtney, and I would not be able to handle that.
It's okay. That's why we're all crazy over here.
We're all crazy over here. Let's nice. Jump into it.
Everyone is part of the family at this point.
It used to be my fan fiction idea that I had. So this movie was garbage.
What is this?
You are a monster beyond all belief.
Put them all in the thing and let them do the thing. You know what I mean?
How?
You know, you're lucky to have me back.
You're never going to get 60 million people because you're not a Super Bowl. Shut up.
That's so chaotic.
Welcome to the Guy at the Movies podcast where we are so chaotic. I am Joe. He is Sean. And we are joined by Courtney Kitty. Courtney, how's it going?
It's going well. Thanks for having me.
We are very excited to have you. We talked probably about a month or two ago, and we were like, who do we have to have on the show? And you were the first one to come to mind.
Mm-hmm.
So we're very happy to have you here for what is going to be a really interesting episode, because for some reason, the movie universe decided to drop like 17,000 trailers last week. Very, very odd, Sean.
Yeah. We usually go over about one, maybe two, and that's pushing it. But now we're going to go over about, like, let's see. Yeah, 10.
Sean, is it true that you bought your tickets to Barbie already?
I mean, once they're available. They're not available yet by AMC theaters, but Nicole Kidman will sell them to me soon.
Nicole Kidman will sell them to me soon. Courtney, when you go to the movies down there in New Orleans, are you more of a, like, AMC Regal person, or is it a local theater?
So I do both. I love my AMC. I love my Nicole Kidman, but I also love my independent theaters.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
very true.
What's the last movie you saw in theaters?
The last movie I saw in theaters was, you know, all right, we'll save this for later, but it was supposed to be Renfield. I had an early screening to see it at the Overlook Film Festival, and I couldn't get in.
Really?
It was overbooked, yeah.
So shout out to the people that went to see like a director's cut of Midsommar on April 1st. And then they're like, surprise, April Fools, this is Beau is Afraid. And
like, I think that happened.
That was an actual thing that happened in New York. Like, and so some people were in there being like, I was expecting to see Midsommar. I guess to see an early screening of Beau is Afraid is cool, but you know, I made plans after this.
Interesting. Interesting. Well, you know what's,
I haven't heard about that.
I know, that's so weird. Someone messaged me last night because one of the questions, someone asked me about Beau is Afraid the other night. And I commented about it, and they responded back and was like, they were like, be excited. I'm like, oh, I'm assuming you saw it. And they're like, nope.
Oh, boy. Yeah, we're getting the Ari Aster one. It's the Ari Aster toxicity with the Beau is Afraid toxicity. Or no, sorry, with the Joaquin Phoenix toxicity. And we're going to get a perfect storm of people that are going to say, you like this or you're dead.
I just can't deal with it. It's 3 hours long.
You like a lot of 3 hour movies, though, Joe.
What, like what? John Wick 4 was fine.
Avatar? But...
John Wick 4 is 3 hours.
Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, yeah. What?
Yeah, and there's no
plot. Because they need to explain the world.
Well, there's like a 10-minute scene where it's just Ian McShane walking in front of pictures.
Gigantic portraits of pictures, and he's just walking for 10 minutes. Where I was like, yeah, maybe the cut could have gone there.
And 45 minutes at the end where John Wick just keeps getting thrown down steps and then has to go back up.
Very enjoyable. Those stuntmen probably almost died.
I put a joke out about this, but I really do like stand by this. Some of these movie lengths are ridiculous. Like,
yeah,
Killers of the Flower Moon is apparently like 3.5 hours or 3 hours, 40 minutes or something. And I'm supposed to watch that on Apple in my house. Like, come on.
He's able to get away with that because it's Apple, because we can pause and pee and stuff. So,
but I think will you watch it on Apple or are you going to watch it in theaters?
It's going to have a theatrical run. I'll probably watch it in theaters, yeah. But I mean, if you're going to do a 3.5 or 3 hour, 40 minute movie, I'm honestly fine with it. But you have to do the old school, like 10 minute intermission thing in the middle so that we can leave and like pee and stuff like that. Because I have to pee in a theater, but you know,
I've never been to a movie that had an intermission. I mean, even when The Irishman was the last really long one I saw in theaters, probably. I mean, aside from Avatar and stuff, but that's shorter. But even thinking back to seeing Titanic in like 97, there wasn't an intermission.
No, they stopped doing it because I guess, I don't know why they stopped doing it actually, but like, you know, like Ben-Hur, which would be 4 hours long, but you watch it like on streaming Ben-Hur and they still have the 10 minute intermission. So now I'm just like fast forwarding through this like weird, like 10 minute song of intermission going on.
Interestingly enough, that's not going to be the last reference to Ben-Hur today on this podcast.
Okay. Oh my God, you're right. But that's silly.
Very, very silly. All right, let's dive into trailers, which I have been like jokingly referring to as Trailer Palooza all week.
Palooza.
I'm a nerd, Courtney.
We're all about, yeah.
It's branding. All right, let's start with, let me ask this question. Courtney, out of the list that we have here, there's what, 8 trailers here. Is there one that you're most excited about?
Barbie.
Yeah.
Tell us more.
I am Barbie.
And neither of us are Kens, but you know.
I'm also interested in Beau Is Afraid. I watched the trailer for the first time yesterday, and I didn't realize initially that it was an Ari Aster movie, but now that I know that, I'm terrified.
Yep.
I literally just watched it before you hopped on the recording earlier, and I was very confused as to why there was like an animal growling at the end.
Yeah.
What is going on?
I don't know, but I'm afraid.
Yep. Courtney is afraid.
There you go.
Marketing done well.
Yep.
Yes.
Well, yes. Marketing done well because this is trailer 2 and it's 45 seconds long. So props to them for like not revealing anything in these trailers, which, you know, is very rare these days.
Which begs the question, do we know what this movie is about at all?
I think he is someone who is scared to go outside and he's making a trip to see his mother, but then he is kidnapped by 2 neighbors that hit him with his car, with their car. And the neighbors are Patti LuPone and Nathan Lane because reasons. So that's all
that,
I have. Wait,
is that real?
That's what I got from the first trailer. I got nothing from this trailer. Absolutely nothing. But from the first trailer, that's what it seemed like. But then, of course, then he ends up in like the Wizard of Oz. So then I have no idea what's happening from there.
I don't think I saw that trailer. So I am...
Yeah, no. Young. I mean, as I explain it, I don't know what I'm talking about, but
yeah, that's special. Let's talk about the Barbie trailer because we got the first full-length Barbie trailer where Barbie says hi to Barbie multiple times. Ken says hi to Ken multiple times, or multiple Kens, I should say, multiple Barbies. And I'm very concerned for Margot Robbie's feet based on that initial scene where she steps out of her high heels there. But Courtney, starting with you, Barbie, what has you excited about this?
I love Margot Robbie. I love Ryan Gosling. I am, however, concerned about Greta Gerwig. She isn't my favorite.
Oh,
she, you know, that's why I'm interested in, because it's something different, but with Greta Gerwig, she's done Lady Bird and she's also done Little Women, and neither one was really revolutionary, especially Little Women, because it's just based off of the book and the 90s version is better.
Whoa, okay, okay.
But
hot takes here.
I love all the pastel colors. I think a lot of good marketing. I'm just really interested to see where it's going to go. And it's opening the same day as
Oppenheimer. The greatest weekend of movies ever.
So I'm just really curious as to see how this unfolds.
It feels like they're not telling the full story here in the trailer, which I kind of like. I mean,
intentionally, I'm sure.
Yeah, she goes to the real world at some point because that's even the 45,000 posters that came out last week. A few of them are humans, and I think Will Ferrell's like the lead of all that. So she goes to the real world, and that's where I expect that we're going to get that Greta Gerwig, deeper meaning coming out. But I don't really know what to expect at this point. It looks really good. I mean, like, it visually, it's...
Visually, it's, yeah, it's screaming my name, but...
I think we're honestly seeing the first 20 minutes of this movie only right now. Like, I think that, like, there's a lot of this in the real world, and they're really bearing the lead. I'd love to see this grab technicals, especially in the summer, because I don't know what... I truly don't know what this movie is. I'm, like, fascinated by it.
Completely. That's how I feel.
Yeah.
If you remember, one of the earlier pictures that dropped was Ken and Barbie in rollerblades, on rollerblades at the beach. And to your point, Sean, maybe we're only seeing a part of it, because one of the ending scenes of the trailer is her asking him if he has his rollerblades. So I think you're probably right there. We probably don't know. We haven't seen a lot of this, and I think a lot of it does probably take place in the real world.
I am probably the most excited for the fact that we are getting comedy Ryan Gosling, which is so rare. Because, I mean, The Nice Guys is just, like, probably one of his best performances almost easily. And I think that this is just, you know, he's really, like, his kind of blank stare when Barbie, like, says, what are we going to do when you stay over? And he just, like, kind of very calmly says, I actually have no idea. I just love his, like, very, like, smooth comedic delivery that he has. And I'm just, I'm ready for this. I'm ready.
I agree with you. I'm excited. And also, like, Simu Liu in this and stuff. Like, very excited for this cast. It's going to be exciting there. They don't show much of her, but Kate McKinnon is, like, the flexible Barbie or whatever.
Well, she's got, like, stuff, like, all over her face. So she's, like, the Barbie that was given to a toddler that gets drawn all over, is my theory. But, like, she looks nuts. I also want to shout out, like, congrats to this marketing department for the posters alone. Like, they must have done some sort of, like, chemistry where they said, okay, this can turn into a meme very quickly, because it's just been memes everywhere. And they just nailed it. Like, oh man,
Oppenheimer needs to step up.
It's gonna save cinema again.
So one of the, like, things I thought about is, like, Oppenheimer does character posters, and that would be as bad as if Air did character posters. And then I googled it, and Air did do character posters. And they're just a quote from each person, and they're terrible. Like, look at them. I love the movie Air, but it's, like, it's one of their quotes. Like, Christmas scene is on one. He's like, I don't have friends. I have clients. And that's all it is. It's the weirdest, like, of all the things to have character posters for. I mean, it's a hell of a cast, so I'll give them that. But
oh, yeah. Viola Davis is Dolores Jordan. A shoe is just a shoe until my son steps in it. Oh, this is interesting.
Yeah, they're not great.
How did Marlon Wayans get a poster? He's in the movie for 3 minutes.
I think it's because he's Marlon Wayans. Like, that's pretty much it.
And that's a really bad pull quote. You go directly to the family, you're going to lose your job. Like, if you don't know what the movie's about, you're not going to get that.
By the way, the pull quotes are bad. Like, all of them are bad from each one. They're just not good pull quotes. Like, weird marketing campaign that I didn't see until I googled it. So very happy that one's not.
Around. Speaking of Barbie and toys, this is a little diversion here, but did you know that they just opened a new restaurant in Disney World based on Toy Story? And when the audio, like, it will say, like, Andy's coming, and everyone has to freeze. So, like, I want to eat my food.
Wait, everyone has to freeze? That's not going to happen.
Everyone, the videos, everyone's, like, playing along and stuff. I'm like, no, like, I just give me my burger. My overpriced burger, and let me, you know, enjoy.
First of all, there's already a restaurant that they could have done, and I think I've gone to it when Pizza Planet. What's happening? You just make Pizza Planet.
How did you go to it?
Well, I think I went to it when I was in, like, second grade when I went to Disney World, which was, like, the last time I went. And Pizza Planet, like, we had pizza there, I think, but I guess they don't have it anymore. But I don't know.
Pizza Planet, known for their salads.
French fries. Yeah. To me.
Let's jump over. We started getting, we got a second look at Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse. And I will say, the first movie's great. When the first trailer for this came out, I think I said on the podcast that it was a horrendous trailer. I hated it. And this trailer is wonderful, in my opinion. I'm all in. Like, this did really well for me. Sean, are you excited for them to expand this universe a little bit?
So what I liked about the first trailer was that they focused on the family relations, that while that wasn't, like, the thing that everybody walked out of the first movie loving, they were great, like Brian Tyree Henry and you know, his son, like behind the door and communicating. So I look at something like this and I say, okay, this one did everything right, where it has that familiar relations. It has the amazing bit of him getting a B in Spanish, which is so goddamn funny. And as a teacher, like, I'm not a Spanish teacher, but that is also just really true. So much so, like, with different cultures and everything, with the, like, getting a B in Spanish, but getting an A in physics, and she's pissed off. The mom's pissed off. Amazing. Amazing, amazing. So it has that great familiar relations that the first one has. And then this one, of course, like, took it off with the, like, awesome, you know, just seizure inducing flashing like lights and everything throughout the whole thing, which, you know, is what made the first one also like very eye-catching. So I mean, I am quite excited for this, but I still can't get that title right. I still say Into the Spider-Verse. I'm probably gonna say Into the Spider-Verse. Like, when you just said Across the Spider-Verse, it felt wrong. Like, it just felt strange. So boy oh boy, other than the title, I am very excited for this.
Courtney, how about you? Did you see the first one, Into the Spider-Verse?
I didn't. I mean, technically I did. I like downloaded it illegally and I watched the first 30 minutes of it and then it cut off. So I've seen 30 minutes of it and it was great for what I saw.
But this is why I don't download stuff. It's not because of the moral obligation or the legal obligation. It is because it always like cuts off or gets screwed up.
So stop it. I'm on brand. What I did see was pretty fantastic and unique. I never got a chance to catch back up on it. So
it was a nice surprise, I think, when it came out, because I didn't really know what was going on. It was in the middle of, like, obviously Marvel releasing tons of movies and doing their own thing. But yeah, it was a really nice surprise. The animation was great and the humor was really funny. So I'm excited for that. But the other one in superhero land that has me really excited is Blue Beetle, because it's just such a off the beaten path comic character, and it just looks kind of charming in a way that Shazam did the first one when they were marketing it as like a family movie. And I think the graphics look really good. It seems like it's going to have some humor to it. Courtney, did you have a chance to watch this trailer?
I did, and correct me if I'm wrong. So this is DC. Sorry, I'm kind of a superhero.
You're good.
Noob. I have seen most of the Marvel movies. This is DC, though.
Yes.
It looks good. Will I see it? I don't know. Probably not.
I think that's going to be the majority of the audience on this one. I hope it works, but yeah, this is a tough one.
I have a note that says this isn't the first DC superhero on screen, right?
No.
Oh, no.
Well, Superman and Batman are DC.
Yeah, yeah.
Who fed you this note, Courtney?
I don't... Honestly, there's so much here that it's probably all wrong.
You have Charlie Day level of notes right there from It's Always Sunny.
Some context here is that they are completely starting over with DC. And this
maybe that's what I was trying to... Yeah.
And this is one of the last holdovers from... before the reset, before the, well, that's getting technical, from the old filmmakers. This is the last film that's kind of like in the mix there. Okay. A lot of people believe that it could carry over to, you know, folding into what they're doing in the future, depending on how well it does. So
this might be an Elseworld of the Elseworlds, of the third world from the world of the different, like, sort of like universes.
Sean gets very angry when we're talking about this.
I just get tired. And when I get tired, I get angry.
I don't know. It looks kind of charming. I do love that the line of Batman is a fascist lit all the internet trolls on fire this week. And everyone was like, this is bullshit. It's going woke and all that. I loved it.
I mean, Batman is a fascist is a pretty awesome take.
Where do you find these trolls? I want to see them too.
Joe has a dark corner of the internet that we don't go down.
They come to me.
You have, like, I don't know what it is, but you are somehow in a Twitter portion that's like a little bit rougher than mine.
I get all kinds of shit. Oh God.
I'm very excited to see pronunciation check, Zolo Maradona in this, because he's like been awesome on like so many seasons of Cobra Kai.
Yeah.
And it's just great to see those kids start to make it, because I do think they have a lot of talent. I think that Cobra Kai is kind of, you know, thankfully it's ending soon because it's sort of going down the drain a little. And what I like about this the most is this has that sort of very retro feel of being like maybe a type of 80s movie similar to E.T. or a 90s movie similar to The Iron Giant, where it's kid discovers a fantasy thing and hijinks ensues. And that's just a great, I think even Black Adam had hints of this, But I really like that kind of that formula. And I feel like it's been lost a lot. So this is great, like him discovering the suit, goofing off with it, screaming the whole time while he's getting launched into space. I mean, yeah, there's nothing about this outside of it that interests me. I've never heard of Blue Beetle, much like I have never heard of many DC heroes. So, you know, there's nothing drawing me in that way. But, I mean, James Gunn seems to be having faith in this. He's just waiting to see if it financially goes. So he wants to put this in the universe.
You mean Susan Sarandon wasn't a draw for you when you saw her in 2 seconds of this trailer?
That was great that, like, I'm looking.
I didn't see that.
Except you must have blinked.
She's the villain.
I'm looking at the IMDb, and she's top billed. But she's in, I mean, a second of this trailer, surrounded by blue and looking very different.
I'm trying to pull up the clip right now to see her.
I mean, truly, once again, you'll blink.
Yeah.
I can't find her. Seriously. But
also, shout out to Harvey Guillen, who's in this and is amazing in, like, at this point, kind of everything he's doing. So I'm psyched about
it. I found her.
There we go.
Wait, yeah. To who? Shout out to who?
Harvey Guillen.
Oh.
Yeah, he's great.
Oh, this is not the most flattering.
Well, it's not. I mean, it's the only second she's got. Yeah, there she is. So.
No wonder I didn't recognize her. It doesn't even look like her.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Oh, boy.
I love that someone, her like agent was probably like, hey, DC wants you. And she's like, what's DC?
What's DC?
She thought she had to run for office.
Yeah. Oh, man. Let's jump over to Extraction 2. So this is an interesting one starring Chris Hemsworth. The first movie came out right, I think it was like April.
It was the greatest time ever for a cheap Netflix action movie to come out. It was April 2020, and everyone on Earth watched it.
Yeah, everyone wanted something at that point, and it was it was fun. I remember doing like watch parties for it and stuff. Yeah. Remember when they were a thing?
I forgot about those.
But that was a lot of fun, and they of course have made a sequel here. So we got a trailer. Sean, you can be critical of trailers here. And I was wondering, I couldn't figure out where you would go on this one when I was watching it.
Well, you sent this to me, but you sent it to me during school hours. And you know I don't respond to you during school hours. Not out of moral obligations, because the service is terrible. But, like, I kind of loved this trailer. And, you know, it's just the dumb thing where it's just like, you know, you were technically dead for 8 minutes. And so, like, just like George Foreman. But I, Thank you. But... I mean, it's already dumb where it's like, we knew he survived because he showed up in the last shot, kind of. It was a blurry picture, but you knew it was him. I mean, I love this first one, and this is my strong advocation theory that more stunt coordinators should be directors of films. John Wick has proven that. I'm ashamed I don't know this guy's name right off the bat, but I know he's a stunt coordinator as well. And there were so many great action scenes in this. It was a little dumb, but I don't care when I'm looking at an action movie. It's just a shame that this is going to be on Netflix. I guess it's fine. You know, I don't mind watching things at home, but this is a good theater movie, or Extraction 1 was. And so it's a shame that it wouldn't be there, but, you know, still excited.
Is it not coming to theaters at all?
I mean, I don't know if they're going to be shooting for Oscar nominations for it. So,
true.
Maybe it will try to do the typical rule of showing up in a couple of markets. I mean, Netflix did buy a movie theater for that, like, you know, Oscar rule of having to be in a movie theater. So, but at the same time, it probably won't be available to all of us in theaters. Although, you know, I wish I could see it in theaters.
I think I agree with that. I'm excited for the same experience as the April 2020 Extraction, though. Like, just sitting here, like, with, you know, my lunch going nuts.
I think it was a pretty dark time of the pandemic for me. I think it was like 11 a.m. and I was drinking beer, and like work was kind of like stalled out. So yeah. I was just like, I was having a beer watching Extraction and at the time my girlfriend's bedroom, like, while she worked at home.
Now wife.
Now wife. Oh yeah, I guess the at the time thing is leading. Now wife.
Courtney, who's the better Hemsworth, Chris or Luke?
Oh,
I like Chris. You know, I said my superhero knowledge isn't very extensive, but I am pretty familiar with Marvel. So I'm a Chris Hemsworth fan. However, I did not see Extraction. Imagine that. So you said the first one wasn't the best. So why do you think it got green lit for a sequel?
Because it showed up at April 2020. It was the highest watched Netflix movie of all time because people were so damn desperate to watch something or do something.
Desperado. Okay. Yeah.
So at this point, that's what really did it. And it's a fun
also action. That is Sean's opinion that it was not the best. It was a lot of fun. It's a very good action movie.
I agree with all those things. I just think that like when they tried to like, I don't know, force a little bit of an emotion story, I was like, come on, go punch someone again. don't try to connect with the kid. Just punch the people trying to kill the kid. What are we doing here?
I'll probably need to rewatch it, honestly, before the second
one. Oh, yeah, you might miss some plot points.
It has more plot than John Wick 4 did.
You hush. Yeah, probably.
All right. The last movie trailer that we got, we were actually just watching it before we jumped on here. Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. I'm intrigued by this. I don't know if I'm excited. I'm more so just, I want to see where it goes because I didn't love the last one. And we've talked about this on the pod before. But the trailer is a little bit more exciting than what we got before. I think there's a little bit more plot that's divulged in there, though I still am a little bit confused. Courtney, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny. How we feeling?
I mean, I'm not going to lie. I get nostalgic goosebumps every time I hear the theme. So what am I supposed to do? I have to see it.
Obligated beyond all belief, yes.
I am just, you know, being raised in the 80s, you know, I was raised on those movies. So, yeah. Of course, as much as I hated the Crystal Skull, Kingdom of the Crystal Skull?
Yes,
it was.
I don't think that was on anyone's favorite movies list, but, you know, I don't know. I have to see this one. And nostalgic goosebumps, Mads Mikkelsen as the villain, kind of can't go wrong there. I love him.
Also, just holding tight to his one line of, you know, like, Hitler made a couple of mistakes. It's like, yeah, no, just a couple, buddy. Yeah. Like, that already just makes him the most sinister dude ever.
Yeah, so I'm really excited to see where it goes. It's got a summer release date, so it could be a big blockbuster. Who knows? It could surprise us. It could be a Top Gun Maverick. You never know.
I mean, like, Mangold does kind of deliver when it comes to, like, franchises that have worn out their welcome. Logan. I mean, we look at Logan. I mean, everyone thinks that's, like, considered the best X-Men movie. And I'm willing to hear that argument. And so he's the one that did that one. So I worry about the look of this. This looks a lot like Kingdom of the Crystal Skull, where it's just very overproduced. And, you know, I just miss those first three, like, Indiana Jones movies where, you know, it looked like they were doing every single stunt for real and every actor was actually in quite danger. Now, you know, unions and OSHA probably keep those things from happening now. But, I mean, I'm still, you know, this has, like, such a great cast. Like you mentioned, Mads Mikkelsen, Boyd Holbrook, who I just love. I just love Boyd Holbrook. And then you got Phoebe Waller-Bridge as the, you know, thankfully not love interest in this. Thankfully a, you know, plucky young one that, you know, Harrison Ford has to reluctantly take on, which, you know, it's a very good Karen Allen type role. So I'm in. It's I hope for fun. That's all I hope for.
I'm excited because of James Mangold directing. I really do like him. But I just realized something. I was looking up James Mangold's IMDb. So, yes, he did Logan. Do you know that he also did The Wolverine in 2013?
Did he really? I actually did not know that.
That shitty Wolverine movie, which actually still has a 71% on Rotten Tomatoes somehow.
That was also, I believe, the Wolverine one. I could be wrong, but I think the Wolverine was like absolutely obliterated by the writer's strike and was a movie that like tried to survive. I think now there were like eight single Wolverine movies. So I could be wrong about which one was which.
There were not eight single Wolverine movies.
Okay. Three.
A fair few.
Two. There was an Origins one. There was Wolverine Origins. There was Wolverine H2O. There was Wolverine
in space. My favorite comic. I just clicked on Rotten Tomatoes for the Wolverine, and the top critic review is a multi-million dollar pile of tedium.
Oh, Jesus. That's actually great. That's great like line. Pauline Kael levels of.
I'm excited for that. And we're going to talk about James Mangold a little bit more as we move on here, because James Mangold is being tapped for a lot of things. Courtney, go for it.
So, thank you. So on the topic of trailers, correct me if I'm wrong. Did they release a new Guardians of the Galaxy trailer? Did we forget to add that to the list? Do we not like Guardians of the Galaxy?
Oh, we like it. When did they release? Because I think they released a lot of them.
I thought they released a new one this week. And
they did. It was during the shareholders meeting, and I completely forgot about it.
That's why I'm here to remind you.
Thank
you.
There
we go.
Thank you. That's why you're here. What did you think of that trailer, Courtney?
So as much as I have superhero fatigue, Guardians of the Galaxy is the one movie or the one franchise, not franchise, like series of movies that I can stand behind that I can actually say that I love. Once you dabble more into like the multiverse, I get a little confused and I tend to stray away. But I love the first two movies. I'm really excited to see where this one goes. And it's the last one.
Yeah. The trailer really didn't show a lot of new stuff. I mean, there are a few new scenes, but it's just, I think, elevating the emotion. James Gunn said afterwards, if the first movie was about the mother, the second movie was about the father, and the third movie is about self. And I was like, ooh, you're getting deep. But I think that's one thing that Guardians has done really well in Marvel is kept it to the characters and, you know, focused on them.
I really just think at this point, like everyone keeps on saying with every poster design, they're like, oh, Rocket's going to die. I think they're killing them all off, man. I know that's an insanely like hot take, but I just think like all these characters are done with Marvel. All these actors are done with Marvel.
Yeah.
And I think that like they're just going to like launch them out of there. And, you know, it would be very fascinating to see because, you know, James Gunn is out of there as well. So like there's like, I don't know where they all end up. So it'll be interesting to see where this one ends and how they really do wrap up their story. But it does look like each one of these looks like beautiful. I think I intentionally avoided this trailer because I get super nervous once like the third trailer rolls around. I'm like, they're going to give something away that I don't want to give away. And so I get like I start to cower away.
It was pretty vague. It was
Yeah. I'm very intrigued by this movie. It's weird because it feels out of place with how Marvel is right now. You know, it's kind of like Guardian. I know, yeah, in a good way. And like what Courtney was saying with the multiverse stuff, it gets a little like wonky and crazy. But Guardians has always kept itself like a little bit to the side in telling its own contained story that does impact larger things, but or larger storylines. But it is it's usually a nice diversion from the craziness that's happening in the rest of the films. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not the biggest Chris Pratt fan, so I will cheer when he gets killed off in this movie, but no, I'm kidding.
Chris Pratt, it dawned on me, like, you know, after watching Mario and stuff, I'm so bummed because this was like the greatest character in Parks and Rec. And then since then, it's just like, he just needs to put his weight back on and be fun again. He's just doing these weird, like, marine shows.
His weight back on.
I'm telling you, I miss Fat Pratt. I really do. Fat Pratt. I miss him so much.
Oh, my God.
It's the greatest argument to not doing sit-ups ever, and I will stand by it.
Oh, is that that's what makes the decision?
Hey, it's a bold theory, but I'm sticking with it.
Oh, my God. All right, speaking of Marvel, we did get a Secret Invasion trailer. This is the series that is debuting this summer, starring Samuel L. Jackson as Nick Fury, which is fun to see him back. I am all about this because it's being billed as like a political like intrigue, like that type of thing. I don't know. I don't really know what's going on with the Skrulls and the Krulls and the Kings and the things and stuff, but I'm into it. Sean?
I mean, this take has been floating around, so I'm stealing the take, but I agree with it wholeheartedly. This is going to be Marvel's version of Andor, which is going to be the best series that they do, but no one's going to watch it. And it's because it's going to deviate completely from all other like Marvel things, like Star Wars did. Andor didn't have a single lightsaber. Andor didn't have a mention of the Force or the Jedi. It just took place in that world. This is the same thing where it's going to be like, there's not going to be a bunch of overly CGI superheroes punching each other, but it's going to be like this, like you said, a awesome political intrigue thriller, which I mean, I love when Marvel does that and they don't do it often. They most of the time do just weird shit, but now I'm excited to like see them, you know, maybe slow it down a little bit and do something that, you know, hopefully will work. And yeah, give Sam Jackson the lead once. Like, this is like, you know, we haven't seen him in a while, first of all, because he's been like, I guess, on a different planet, because of course. But like, I'm in for this. I'm excited for this. This does also have Olivia Colman, right?
Yep.
Yes, love her.
Like, Olivia Colman's in a Marvel show. How lucky are we that, like, we just live on this planet?
I want Joy Louis-Dreyfus in this as well, and if she doesn't show up, it's a major L. But Courtney, your thoughts on Secret Invasion?
I mean, it kind of goes back to my superhero fatigue. I don't know if I would watch this. I love Samuel L. Jackson. I was a waitress and waited on him once. I was nice. Overwhelmed. So, but I support him. I love him. I love Olivia Colman. I think you're right. I think maybe this one will be a big one that not many people see. So I'm curious to see where this summer blockbuster goes. Lots of summer movies.
And this is only 6 episodes, which is kind of wild.
That goes either way.
Oh, it's a series?
Yeah, it's a 6-episode series. Disney
Plus, yeah.
You're an idiot. I thought it was
No, you're good.
It does look very cinematic, so I don't blame you. Yeah.
That's actually cool, though. Maybe I could be invested in that.
Christopher McDonald is in this for all 6 episodes.
Is that Shooter McGavin?
Yes, Shooter McGavin.
Oh, he's going to play an asshole senator. I'm so excited. Just to circle back, if I was to wait on Sam Jackson, I would screw up the order several times to try to get him to, like, you know, just get one motherfucker out of him.
No, so. I was slammed at the time, and he did one of these. He was like...
Oh.
Oh my god, I'm screwing up so bad.
I imagine him doing that and the entire room stops. Like, everyone stops to go get him.
Music drops, everyone's quiet.
Record scratch.
I had never been more busy in my life, so I was just like, oh my god. But he is as great as one would think.
Oh, lovely.
He would be super intimidating.
It'd be so scared.
My God. All right. Last trailer is for another series here. This is in Star Wars world, which will lead us into some of our Star Wars conversation. This is Ahsoka, starring Rosario Dawson, who debuted the character in live action in, oh God, I don't even remember. Was that Mando season 2?
Or Mando was it, season 2, yeah.
Was it Boba? It was Mando, right?
Yeah, it was Mando.
Mando. Courtney, I know you're not the biggest Star Wars person, but did you watch this trailer and what were your thoughts?
Yeah. I watched it. I hadn't seen any of The Mandalorian.
Or Rebels or Clone Wars. So you have... It's like, why is she orange? Yeah.
But, you know, warrior, outcast, rebel, Jedi. It kind of... It's intriguing. It's intriguing. My boyfriend watches The Mandalorian. He watches all this. He would probably be better at asking than me. But I appreciate the franchise. I love Star Wars. I've seen all the movies. I just haven't delved into the series yet, yeah. But I don't know. What do y'all think?
I'm nervous about this one, and this was the one when this was announced. This was my most anticipated project because Ahsoka was a character like in the animated show of Clone Wars that Anakin was training as a Jedi Master, kind of, and so like her character went from annoying plucky kid to like. Awesome, her own, like, you know, she went on her own story, she went on her own arc, she technically left the Jedi like on her own accord, and like such a fascinating character. So then when she showed up and then she showed up in Mando for live action played by Rosario Dawson, I said, how are they gonna make her look legit? And they did somehow. Like she looks like not horrific realistically, because like
I didn't even know it was Rosario Dawson.
Yeah. it's such a weird character design anyway, like, so like I was like, how are they gonna take this from animated to live action? And they nailed it. I guess what I'm worried about here is that, first of all, it doesn't look as great as I was hoping for, like visually. But the main thing I'm really worried about is right now where I'm seeing Mandalorian go, where they're trying to put too much other stuff in Mandalorian. And this has a lot of the characters from the other animated show, Star Wars Rebels, which is also awesome. But I'm worried that I would have loved this to be her own story. Granted, she works a lot with the Rebels in that show, so okay, I see why she's there. But I don't know. I think I'm just sour on Mandalorian right now, which Mandalorian is still entertaining. It's still fun. I'm not like hating on it completely, but they are doing something different with this season where there's just way too many different plots going in there because they realize, hey, Mandalorian is our cash cow. Let's introduce every single other story through the Mandalorian. And that creates a little bit of bloat. And now I'm just like a little bit like this came out at a terrible time, basically, because I'm like weird about Mando right now. So like I'm weird about Ahsoka. I'm still easily going to be like seeing this religiously. I've been loving what Filoni does, where he does fill in gaps throughout all of the Star Wars story.
Yeah.
And he's just such a genius with that. And I'm just so happy he's like behind the wheel on so many different things. And we're going to talk about him like taking charge with a few things, which is going to be really fascinating. But I'm ready to see this. I'm excited to see this. I'm just a little nervous.
I do think that one of the same way that with Barbie, you said it feels like we only saw the first 20 minutes. I do think that this trailer showed a lot from only one episode. Because it's a lot of clips that seem to be from the same like battle and stuff like that. So I'm hopeful that they're keeping a lot close to the chest there. But I'm getting a little tired of them. The series that are filmed in like that volume or whatever it's called, it's starting to look really fake. Like I don't know what's changing with it, but I'm not enjoying it. And it's funny because James Mangold just recently said something about Dial of Destiny that like, you know, it looks the way it does because they filmed on like real streets and in real settings.
I love how that's starting to look fake is filming on real streets and the volume is looking real.
Like, it's like someone called him out and was like, wow, the CGI looks terrible here. And he was like, that's a real building. absolutely crazy. So all in all, there is a ton of content coming in the next couple of months. And it's just so weird that all the trailers dropped at once, but I'm glad we were able to talk through them. When we come back, we are going to dive into Air and Super Mario Brothers. And then after that, be reunited with Courtney for some news to chat about here. So stay tuned for that. All right. And we're back. Let's chat Air and Super Mario Brothers, not Mario, as the internet let me know in every freaking comment this week.
So that has actually been like quite the controversy, not just with you, but like apparently a lot of podcasters that are like from the East Coast are saying Mario, and it's generating a lot of issues, which is funny because they're from Brooklyn. So maybe they should be saying Mario as well.
Well, if they, put in enough care into the movie, maybe we could be debating that instead of Mario or Mario. Now, let's talk Air first. Yeah. Air is the Ben Affleck-directed film about Nike, starring a wildly entertaining cast and really good cast, in my opinion. Starring Matt Damon, Viola Davis, et al. Sean, I loved this movie.
Oh, yeah.
It was just such a intriguing story. And just Ben Affleck directed the hell out of it.
So I put this in my review because, you know, I could deconstruct this in an intelligent fashion if I wanted to and go through this or that. But I'll just say it this way. Ben Affleck's really good at making movies. Like, he's really good at producing them. He's really good at directing them. And, you know, with the exception of Live by Night, which we have established as a movie that doesn't exist, he has made nothing but absolute hits. And so this is nothing short of that again. And he made, like, you know, boardroom meetings interesting, which, you know, a movie, I don't want to, like, crap on this movie while we're praising one movie, but Tetris didn't exactly do the same thing, where Tetris was, like, quite boring, where this, like, everything was fascinating. And I think it's because they worked on developing those characters, like, really well. I will say, like, the best part of this movie is, you know, I always talk about this aspect of it where it's show, don't tell, and that's what marks a great movie. Like, you know, don't have, like, you know, two characters say something, have like them have that being shown because this is a film, show that instead. So Matt Damon's character's office is in a tape room. They never say that. There's never two employees being like, boy, that Matt Damon works pretty hard. Yeah, no, his office is in the tape room. Yeah, Sonny works very hard. Yeah, his office is in the tape room. Instead, you discover that for a while Jason Bateman goes in there and doesn't see him, and you realize that that's the tape room. And I think that's such an important thing because so many movies would have two employees be like, wait, is his office the tape room? Yeah, his office is the tape room because he works really hard. He's a hardworking employee. Like there would be like some sort of dialogue there, but instead Ben Affleck loves to visually tell that. And it's a tiny little thing. This is not the only thing that made that movie great, but it's the element of a movie that's really great where it's like, oh, they're treating the audience like they're intelligent. And yeah. I really appreciated that. I mean, you know, you mentioned a great cast. I think that, you know, I would love to see Jason Bateman get a nomination. I would love to see Matt Damon get a nomination, like, surprisingly, because, you know, both of them are well known, but Matt Damon is a movie star.
Yeah.
And he dives into this role really well, and you lose him a little bit. I think what Ben Affleck does is he is now using his performances now are he's using his celebrity in great ways to like make it sort of comedy. He did that in The Last Duel, which I thought was like one of his best performances. And I see him doing that here where he's like a comedic kind of bumbling fool where he's in charge, but he's a little bit goofy. And I mean, Jason Bateman, you were the one that came out of the movie saying he was the best one. And I think I agree. I don't think the movie works without him. I think that he's the heart and soul of it, especially with his monologue. And I'm taking up a lot of air, but the real thing here is Viola Davis does no wrong now. And
I love her.
It's unbelievable because her story was that, you know, the mother's character was going to be a pretty low character. Then they had to rewrite the script because Michael Jordan wanted Viola Davis to play the mom. And I mean, it is just so powerful, so well done. How could anyone else play that role? It's perfect. I really just love this. I thought it was great. It's a good, I took my parents to see this movie and like, you know, I think I need to say the line that my mom said, and it's not to make fun of her, but she said like, boy, we got to get that on DVD. And I think that's actually like what this movie is. It's a good rewatch movie. It's a good movie to get on DVD, even though I don't have physical media anymore. And it's going to be on Amazon Prime. So it's a good home watch if you don't see it in the theater, which I hope you do, because I'd love to see do a decent showing against Super Mario Brothers, which I just saw the Deadline article about where that one's headed, and holy shit. Yeah. But we'll talk about that one a little bit. But it's
tracking for $12 million this weekend, which is pretty solid.
That's good. That's good for that kind of movie. That really is good for that kind of movie. So, and I think this one will be, I hope this one will be a word of mouth, because, you know, we ran into a few friends at a restaurant we went to after, and we said, and they said, oh yeah, I heard about that movie. And I think when enough people will say this is a great movie, it's a great crowd appeal movie, a great audience appeal movie. So I think in general, like, this one is going to take off.
It still has a 93% on Rotten Tomatoes too.
Oh yeah.
Like a 98% audience score. So
yeah, I mean, you know, I don't like this one. Definitely has, like, I've heard from a few podcasts some critic backlash, which is a little bit annoying because I think this came out because people like it was praised very highly. So some people are like, it's not that good, and I hate that shit. Like, because this is a good movie. This is a really good. I think I use this expression too much, but it's a really good meat and potatoes movie where all of the mechanics are good. I want to say I'm talking way too much, but the studio, this is the first film for the Artist Equity Studio that Matt and Ben are basically starting.
Matt and Ben, good friends, Matt and Ben.
Good boys, Matt and Ben, yeah. Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, pardon me. But their studio, this is the interesting fact that I found out after the movie and sort of makes sense with this movie. It's called Artist Equity, and everyone involved in the movie gets the same share of the profits. And awesome. After hearing that, first of all, that's amazing. But also after hearing that, it makes a lot of sense, not just for the content of the movie, which it does for the content of the movie based on, like, you know, wanting Jordan to get a share of the sneaker sales. But also, I think it makes a lot of sense because I'm just like sitting back watching this movie and I'm like, everyone who is working on this movie is doing a really good job. It's just like the directing, from the directing to the acting, but then every little detail in there is just very well done. And I just saw, like, this is like a bunch of people surrounding this movie that are excellent at their jobs. Yeah. Really excellent.
Chris Tucker's the other one that I thought was really good in his limited role. I just really enjoyed him. And that, you know, the boardroom scene, I think, is one of the best scenes in this movie, because it's just Ben Affleck's part of that where they're saying something about like, oh, yeah, what was it? Well, we're going to pay the fines for... you know, having too much red on the shoes, and he's like, what? And like, that was hilarious.
Well, then his reaction to it later, where he's just like, you know, what was that shit about the fines? Never mind, forget about it. I love how amped he was at the end of that meeting, where he's like, I don't care.
Yeah, I all in all, it's just a really enjoyable movie. It's a crowd pleaser, like you said. And I love seeing Matt Damon in roles like this, because he is very diverse in the roles he takes, and he's very good. Matt Damon's a very good actor.
He's just, I mean, like, I think it might have been 2 years ago, Stillwater, which was a movie that, like, bothered me to no end. But, like, his performance in that, it's a complicated character that he's dealing with. He was really good.
Yeah, he's really, really good. All right, let's switch gears to the Super Mario Brothers, which as of this recording on Saturday morning is heading for the biggest global box office debut for an animated film in history, which is wild to me because I left this movie going literally, I didn't love this movie. I mean, let's preface this conversation with the fact that we recognize this is an animated film and that children are likely going to enjoy it. I think it plays very well for children. In an environment where animated films have progressively become more appealing and accessible to all audiences with, you know, well-placed humor that is good for adults and stuff like that, as well as more dynamic storylines that are engaging to all, this definitely misses the mark, in my opinion, on that. It is just a kid's movie, essentially. The animation's beautiful. Mm-hmm. It's nice seeing a lot of the references from the Mario games and stuff, and it's really exciting when they pop up. I'll tell you that in my opinion they pop up way too quick. Like, they're there and then they're gone.
Yeah, all very quick references. Yeah,
they threw so much in there, which is fine. I'm actually surprised that they, you know, spoiler, that they didn't throw Yoshi in there until the very end, like with how they tried to get everything in there. I mean, they have Diddy Kong in there, they have like the DK rap is actually in there too. There's a lot of good stuff to pull from this when it comes to the visuals and the acting, especially the voice acting. Seth Rogen's really good as Donkey Kong. Chris Pratt actually was really good, in my opinion. Yeah. I think they explained off why he's not doing the Mario voice from that we all know. I think they explained that pretty well, very quickly. But there just wasn't much there. And I found myself really bored. And you said it the other night, Sean, and I'll turn it over to you in a sec, but you said it the other night after you saw it, that you were just bored as the movie went on.
Yeah. My typical
third act problems.
I was about to say third act problems. I think, like, you know, this movie is like pretty much under 90 minutes. And that last little bit felt long. I think my main issue with this is that they didn't really explain enough. They kind of like zoomed over a bunch of conflicts. Like Princess Peach is like, you know, you're not coming with me on this adventure. And then Mario's like, why? It's like, okay. And I think that, sure, that's good for kids. They don't hold that much attention. That's totally fine. But I think it's just not a good enough story to really like be impacted. And like you said, and I'll reiterate, because it's very important, we know this movie was not made for us. I've gotten like, you know, texts from some of my friends and family that like took their kids to it and they loved it, and good. I want the kids to be entertained. I want the kids to love something like this. But I just think you can have it all, where you can reach a decent plot with this. And yes, I love the references. I really did have fun with this movie all the way until the end. So I wrestled with it. I gave it a D. I did almost give it a C because I'm like, you know, half of this is pretty okay, even though it does zoom past conflicts and all that stuff. I just want to give a shout out for the voice acting, because I think he's going right now, at least for the first half, he's going on my top 10 performances. I think Jack Black is wonderful in this. I think he's truly, truly wonderful in this. It's not just blowing smoke. I think he puts himself in the role of Bowser. I think he like brings the entire movie into a more interesting state. If you listen to interviews, he did some research. He worked hard for this like role. Like everyone else is like, you know, someone like Seth Rogen was just like, yeah, no, I'm just doing my own voice, which works very well. So that's fine. But Jack Black like brought his inflection to a lower point with it, but you still had that Jack Black level. I say that the funniest moment was, I obviously stayed for the after credits scene, which we were going to talk about because there's something interesting happening there. Stayed for the after credits scene. And I saw like the songs when they credit the songs. Jack Black wrote the Peaches song, which is just
peaches,
great.
Peaches, 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 peaches,
peaches. I like that. It's obviously just stupid little humor, but it does work. There's a lot of people that are saying this movie is not funny. I think this movie is actually quite funny. It's funny in the very stupid humor fashion. I did enjoy myself, but until the end, where the end, I was like, okay, so they have to get the star. What does the star do? I guess ultimate power up, but eventually that goes away. So they never really like say like the biggest part of this, the gigantic MacGuffin of the superstar. And once, yeah, I don't know what the video games are. I know that's like what the video games are and stuff. So cool, cool, cool. But, you know, in the movie, you do have to help explain that just a little bit, like a line of exposition. Well, if you get the star, you get to rule the world. There's some tiny little line of exposition to help me out with that. And once again, I really do like that this movie is going to do well at the box office, honestly. I don't like the movie, but I want theaters to do well. You know, I want people to enjoy theater experiences. I was walking out of Air and people were walking out of Super Mario Brothers dressed as Mario and Luigi, like head to toe.
Did you see the clip online where like they're interviewing Jack Black and they ask him if he was excited when he first got the call and he like has like a Bowser head on? Like, it's just such a funny juxtaposition.
He's great. He's just I love him anyway, but like in this role, he just kind of nails it.
Talk to me about the mid-credit scene that you're referring to.
So, I thought I got the end credits scene spoiled for me, where someone said, and yeah, they might, like, I don't want to spoil the end credits scene. Okay, I'm going to. This was on a podcast I was listening to. And they said, yeah, so I guess they'll have a Super Smash Brothers movie. And so I thought there was going to be a mid-credit that talks about a Super Smash Brothers movie. But the end credits scene turns out to just be a Yoshi egg cracking, mm-hmm. which... I was a little bit disappointed because I was like, oh, I thought we'd see like a whole bunch of other characters and like it would open up the Nintendo universe. Not that that's something I don't know if we want or not. It's going to happen now. Like this is the Iron Man level of success that's happening here.
Yeah.
Where, oh yeah, no, they're going to be making a lot of these.
Well, there's going to be a Donkey Kong spinoff. There's going to be a Legend of Zelda movie. Like there's going to be all that stuff.
And yeah, I mean, like you said, and I want to reiterate this as well, the animation is really good, which I didn't expect. And, you know, not to completely disrespect Illumination, they're not really known for good visual animation. They're just good for like the content they do and everything. This like the character designs were very fun. And there's moments where just Mario's just talking with his big ass circular nose. And I just started to giggle. It was like, and, you know, just showing the characters when they're wet in the sewers and everything. It was. There was some good to this. I don't want to slam this entirely. I think that like there isn't a plot to this at all. Like they really they spent a good afternoon on the script. Other than that though, this is enjoyable. Truly it is. Like I did have fun, but it's just not a good movie.
And I hated the plot line of Bowser wanting to marry Peach. I absolutely thought that was weird. I hated that.
I wrestled with this one for a while because I said to myself, I definitely don't like it. I don't think it's a good movie, but there's good there. There is good there. It's just very, very limited. So I do like, you know, if you've got kids, I really strongly recommend this. It's a good one to like, you know, to keep the kids occupied for a little while. They'll enjoy it. It's colorful. It's fun. It's goofy. And the silly humor is, you know, impactful enough. So, you know, I don't think it's a good movie, but, you know, check it out for the kids.
I think we need to reference or recognize as well that it's targeting the biggest opening for an animated movie worldwide ever, passing Frozen 2. That's Illumination passing Disney, which is a really big deal in the animation world.
That's, wow.
That context is different.
Wow, that hits a lot. I mean, you know, they got this property, and this property is a cash cow because let's face it, this is marketed towards kids, and so like a lot of kids are seeing it. But my God, I mean, this is also marketed towards people our age. Like, it's not targeted towards us, obviously, as we have decided with this. But you know, a lot of people our age are going to see this. A lot of people even older than us are going to see this because this is a Super Mario Brothers kind of thing. Like, this is a gigantic game, and so I think there's. Yeah, it's satisfying more than just one quadrant, which will be interesting.
Illumination execs are saying, woohoo!
Nice.
The number of times they said Mamma Mia in this movie, too, I was like, all right, we're overdoing it.
Well, also, I guess that's kind of a catchphrase for him, but I don't
really know. Mamma Mia!
Yeah, like, and then like they did it in slow-mo, and I was like, well, I don't know about that one.
Woohoo!
Also, not a lot of Luigi, which just felt weird. I know that was what the story called for, is them getting separated and him trying to get him back, but just I would have done a little bit more.
The other piece I want to mention real quick before we go is that I'm really tired of reusing these films reusing a lot of the same music, like We Need a Hero and shit like that. Like, it's been done so many times. When they leaned into the original score, that manipulated the Super Mario themes. It was wonderful.
I was about to cut you off there when you said, like, I was sick of the music, and I was like, wait, what do you mean?
No.
The songs are stupid. Yeah.
The songs are stupid, and it's like you can see them coming from a mile away. But the original score is phenomenal.
It's so weird to say that. I thought that as well, but I had that thought in my head. I'm like, well, that's the dumbest thought I ever had about this movie.
Thanks, Sean.
Well, no, I had it as well, but like, the score is great. It is, though. It is really actually was. A great score. It's a really good score. Like, the dramatic renditions of the video game theme worked very well.
Oh my god. All right, when we come back, Courtney is going to rejoin us to dive into the latest movie news. And we're back. It's always my favorite
thing. Been a while
since we did that. I just added a news story here because when Courtney brought up the trailer for Guardians of the Galaxy, it reminded me that this was actually a big piece of news that we should probably talk about. Moana is getting a live-action reimagining that The Rock announced. And I am a big Moana fan. I love the music from it, and I'm glad to see that the actress, Kaleo, I believe it is, she'll be playing Moana. But, Courtney, I'm wondering if you're tired of these live-action Disney movies like we are.
No, I've seen a couple of them, and I'm tired of them. I said, yep. I wouldn't be cynical today, but, you know, I would rather them push out new exciting ideas instead of just recycling old content. But I mean, if it goes to an audience that isn't familiar with Moana and is interested, I mean, that's great. You know, if it reaches an audience that loves it, that whatever, sure. Am I gonna see it? No.
Good for you. Because I've been all that talking about it and like screaming about how we hate it. But, you know, good for you.
Oh, how we hate it. We know that I'm going to love it. It's written in the stars here.
Here's what I think about this is that, you know, I almost am okay with like an Aristocats live action or a...
that would be amazing.
It's happening. Questlove is doing it. There you go. We're breaking news. There it is.
Is it going to be real cats?
I think they're going to do
animated cats.
You're not the only one excited about it. I think it's going to be like, I guess it's going to be like the real cats, kind of like Lion King.
Like Homeward Bound?
Oh, that would be cooler if they didn't have them like actually have the lips move and talk and they just like, you know, they narrate them for them.
Right. That would be amazing.
So I think that those are okay with me, even if they're like just repeats of the original movies and it's like, just watch the animated movies. I think those are better. But there's a nostalgia that I'm tapping into. When I saw the Little Mermaid trailer, I was like, wow, the CGI is a little bit goofy. But I'm still like, there's the nostalgia factor that I'm tapping into that I'm like, wow, cool. I'm seeing the same thing. But I'm seeing it like new. I'm seeing it in a different way. And there's not enough nostalgia built up for Moana yet. I think Moana is spectacular. And I think Moana is spectacular because it's a very bold animated property. And I think making this live action is, first of all, going to be really hard to do. Like, you know, they can do it. Obviously, effects can do anything.
Which is why they called it a reimagining.
Okay. Yeah. So, like, it's just such a good animated movie. I don't know the purpose of making this live action. It wouldn't be as good. The animated property portions of it are what make that movie so good. This one's upsetting. I try to I try not to be cynical about them. I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to ignore these live action remakes and they're just going to be in this corner and that's okay. But this one's tough, man.
They have a target audience and that target audience loved them. So that's
true. They're making money. Yeah. It's like, hey, we're making money off of these. So, you know, we're going to keep on doing it until we make money. Kind of like Marvel's starting to drop off with their money making with the latest Ant-Man. So I think it's going to be the same kind of deal where, you know, like, maybe they've also started to pump the brakes a little bit with their quantity. And so I think that's the same. Eventually these will start to maybe not lose money, but maybe not make as much money. And they'll say, okay, they're not worth it.
Right.
I think what's kind of weird though, is the timing here. Like Moana only came out a few years ago and the fact that they're already doing this just kind of, and maybe this is me being cynical, but I'm thinking about The Rock here and how, you know, how much, he kind of drives the boat in a lot of ways. And I wonder if it's him pushing for something like this to try to maybe cleanse the palate after Black Adam at Warner Brothers didn't do well.
I'd love him to like get that poor girl fired and be like, no, this is my movie now. Kind of like he did with the Shazam series.
Oh my God. Sticking with the live action talk though, Deadline was reporting or is reporting that The Little Mermaid, which is coming out this summer, starring Halle Bailey, is they've altered a few of the songs, the lyrics in the songs, to allow consent. What's his name? Alan Menken, who is the original creator of the soundtrack of the original film with Howard Ashman, worked with Lin-Manuel Miranda to update the lyrics here. Lin-Manuel Miranda, who is like on everyone's payroll. But he told Vanity Fair there are some lyric changes in Kiss the Girl because people have gotten very sensitive about the idea that Prince Eric would in any way force himself on Ariel. And then also in, let me see, Poor Unfortunate Souls, where there is a line that was revised where Ursula says, quote, the men up there don't like a lot of blabber. They think a girl who gossips is a bore, yet on land it's much preferred for ladies not to say a word. Alan Menken said that they revised it because they didn't want young girls somehow feeling like they shouldn't speak out of turn. Very interesting. And I don't know. I don't know where to go with this. Courtney, your thoughts on this?
So I'm just thinking back to the originals. And when these songs were being sung, I wasn't even paying attention to the lyrics. I was too busy being like terrified of Ursula. I wasn't processing what she was saying. So I mean, if it makes them feel comfortable, if it's, I just don't know. Like, yeah. What is he saying? Kiss the girl. I don't remember that song well.
I think it's the idea of like, you know, kiss the girl is like exactly. It's such a great song.
But I don't. What does he say that's so iffy?
I think it's that where it's just. I think Joe's probably looking at the lyrics right now.
I am.
But I think it's just like the hey, just kiss her. Like kind of a she doesn't really have a choice in this move. Like it's just kiss the girl, I guess.
I didn't read that into it.
Yeah, I think that there's a lot of stuff that old Disney, you know, could and should correct.
Right.
Like thinking about that Aristocats remake, there's like we talked about that in the last episode. There's some rough stuff in there that literally they have a disclaimer before it because it's like pretty pretty inflammatory. Now, you know, I think that, you know, I bet this is gonna be a change that no one notices, as long as it's not really clunky, where it just seems obvious. I bet this is gonna be something that like if there wasn't a news article about it, no one would even know that it's like
exactly
the slightest of
changes. Exactly. I think
no, go. I'm done.
I think it's kind of, yeah, I agree with you. I don't think they should have just changed it and not made a press release or a news release about it because now everyone's going to be watching for that.
Reading the lyrics without the music is, I get where they're coming from a little bit now.
That's because, actually really fun. No, like, wait. Say it like spoken word, Joe.
Sha la 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 la. Don't be scared. You got the mood prepared. Go on and kiss the girl. Don't stop now. Don't try to hide it how you want to kiss the girl. And listen to the song. The song say kiss the girl. The music play. Do what the music say. You got to kiss the girl. You've got to kiss the girl. Oh, don't you want to kiss the girl? You've got to kiss the girl. Go on and kiss the girl.
So, yeah.
Who wrote those lyrics?
Alan Menken.
Yeah. I just think about it because isn't Divvy Diggs playing the crab or is he playing flounder?
The crab.
Okay, so that's going to be great because it's instead going to be just like, you know, like some sort of really high-speed rap instead. Where it's going to be, kiss the girl, kiss the girl, kiss the girl, kiss the girl.
Did we talk about this, by the way? I feel like we talked about this on the pod. I was blown away when I realized that Sebastian was a crab and not a lobster.
We talked about that. Well, yeah, how could you not see that he was a crab?
I don't know.
Lobster's got more of an ass, man. Like, you know.
Oh, yes, lobsters, known for their asses.
Yeah, they're delicious. Okay.
Oh my god. Let's jump over to Star Wars world here. We bitched last week about Kathleen Kennedy still being in charge of Lucasfilm and how she potentially is on the hot seat to get a movie out quickly. And she said, okay, gotcha. So here's what was announced at Star Wars Celebration. The second season of Andor, that critically acclaimed series that nobody watched, is coming out in August of 2024. The Acolyte is another series that's coming, which I, oh my God, what was the description I saw about the Acolyte? I can't remember. Anyway, that's coming. they didn't really say anything else about that. Sorry, I'm skimming real quick while we're to make sure. Oh, I forgot Carrie Ann Moss is in this as a Jedi Master.
Are you kidding me?
Skeleton Crew with Jude Law is coming. Ahsoka, of course, we talked about. Okay, and then here we go with the films. First and foremost, we have three directors who are stepping in. James Mangold, who we talked a little bit about earlier. Dave Filoni, who is kind of the orchestrator of a lot of the really what we're seeing today and what people are really responding positively to when it comes to Star Wars, but started all with the animated projects. And Sharmeen Obaid-Chinoy is doing a movie as well. The big news that came out of the latter director's reveal is that Daisy Ridley is returning to reprise her role as Rey. And I believe this is the film that's called like New Jedi Order or something, but she's going to it's 15 years after the events of the ninth movie that shall not be named. And she's rebuilding the Jedi or whatnot. Sean, you, when we were texting a little bit, you were kind of positive on the movie news.
Well, so, I mean, the Mangold movie, like we already said with him, he knows how to, like, not revive a franchise. I mean, I didn't know about that Wolverine direction, but he knows how to, like, you know, turn a franchise on the right path again. He's really good with grit. He's really good with real. And so these are, like, the first Jedi ever. This sounds like this is going to be a hoot. Like, this sounds like a great, like, you know, just
sword and sandal. It's going to be a hoot.
Oh, yes, yes. I will say that I'm interested in the Rey stuff as well, because I think, you know, obviously that ninth movie just really sucked and like left all of those characters high and dry. And I want, like, because she was such a huge character. I just saw like millions of little girls dressed up as Rey in the same way that, like, you know, like when I was growing up, girls my age were dressing up as Leia. And it was just like, this is a huge feminist icon. And just in general, that movie was bad. So just like all the characters just fell off. So I want her to get another chance, give her like a movie where she's just the center of the whole thing. I'm really excited to see what she can bring in there. I just looked up, by the way, I looked up The Acolyte. It's a movie that takes place just before the main Star Wars films.
Series.
It's a series that takes place just before the main Star Wars films. And like, that's already been dredged a lot. Like, we're mining out of that with Andor, with like all of those other shows that are in between the prequels and the unless they mean the first. Okay, I'm bad at this. but in general, I'm excited for the movie news. I mean, like you said, we were bitching about it. I mean, when we were getting the movie news like this week, there was a part of me that just said, yeah, bullshit, all these things are going to cancel again. And, like, all of these, like, just like that other, like, whole group of films came in, and now these ones are going to just like get canceled and like get like scrapped away. But I think, you know, after Kennedy's job was finally threatened, maybe this starts to unleash a little bit more. I'm excited to see stuff that's a little bit different from the other nine movies, where it's like, you know, hey, we're kind of talking about Skywalker a little bit, but let's deviate from those and do other characters around there. And so I'm game.
Courtney, you gave a thumbs up when I said Daisy Ridley was returning. Are you excited about this?
Yeah. Love a strong female lead. It's my favorite thing in the world. I thought her character and I thought her acting was phenomenal. I think she's great. So the fact that they're bringing her back, like you said, maybe to give her more of a chance. Two thumbs up.
I'm excited for them to maybe be able to flesh her out a little bit more, right, instead of exactly having her stuck in the old, like, you know, the old story, the Skywalker story that we've learned so much about and heard about nonstop. So hopefully this is the start of something really great.
I'm a little bit pissed off about one thing in this, where like Daisy Ridley, like, I'm happy she's coming back, but I'm also a little bit pissed off that she almost feels like she has to come back because she hasn't gotten work anywhere else. Where it seems weird. I mean, you know, hey, Adam Driver deserves, you know, like, the work he's getting. Oscar Isaac deserves the work he's getting. John Boyega is also getting slammed with nothing. And so those two deserve way more work. And so it's frustrating that she's coming back to this franchise, I mean, I'm still happy she's coming back and she's gonna get her bag. And then, you know, hopefully she'll be able to do more projects, because, like, I want to see her more in a lot of other films too. I like to see her here, but I really
she was in the bubble. She was in the bubble.
Don't say those things. Don't do that.
The other two movies that they talked about, Mangold's movie is going to be set during the time where the Jedi are first forming. Like, it's all about, like, who discovered the who discovered the Force, who was the first Jedi, all that stuff, which I think is really cool. And he compared it to, like, a biblical epic online. He said, like, Ben-Hur, if you will.
Because we know in the Venn diagram of Ben-Hur fans and Star Wars fans, that is just, like, that's basically a circle. I mean,
yeah, yeah. Well, the marketing crew was like, how are we going to work with this?
like, why did he say that?
And then Dave Filoni's project, quote, will be based around the escalating war between the Imperial Remnant and the fledgling New Republic. Which I guess that movie is being used as the culmination of a lot of these series. And, like, kind of like a live action Mandalorian, essentially.
Yeah.
Live action Mandalorian. A film about the Mandalorian. Considering the series is live action.
I mean, we don't know if Pedro's in that suit. Like, truly, I don't think he is. I think he shows up for 2 days of filming and then does.
Daddy recording. Pedro?
Daddy Pedro.
Interesting. All right. Anything else on Star Wars to talk about here?
Excited to hope they get on the right path. Please don't try to connect everything. Have some fun with individual projects. I get a little bit worried about the connecting of everything. That's going to be my main complaint on Mando, which I guess nobody else wants to hear it, but it's something I get a little bit weird about.
James Mangold is also going to be writing and directing Swamp Thing. This was teased a while ago, but this is going to be for DC. And part of the new DC. And that should be interesting. Sean?
Once again, like, when it comes to Mangold and his ability to draw in grit and all that stuff, I love the idea of a Swamp Thing just being, like, really gritty and grimy and gross. And, like, because that's just such, like, a interesting... Once again, just like we talked about with Clayface, my only known aspects of Swamp Thing are from the Harley Quinn series, which is not a great way to base your Batman characters, because that is a comedy show spoofing Batman. At the same time, I loved the idea of him. I think it's this really, like, I want Creature of the Black Lagoon kind of vibes. I want it to be really gross and, like, nasty. And I think that Mangold has that sort of level to him.
He's a very busy man. Like, yeah, he's attached to a lot of shit right now.
Yeah, Harrison Ford. I guess, like, Harrison Ford told him, he's like, listen, just take every job you're offered. Just like Harrison Ford is doing.
Courtney, this is within the DC universe and all that stuff going on. Swamp Thing isn't necessarily the most well-known character, but are you on board with, like, a direction that's maybe a little bit more Creature of the Black Lagoon-ish and stuff?
Yeah, if they keep it in that vein, I think that would be really interesting. But... another superhero movie.
Yup. Yet another. Apparently, so
you said he's referenced in, did you say Suicide Squad?
Well, he's referenced in the animated Harley Quinn series, way, way better than Suicide Squad.
Yeah, sorry. Squad. Got a little confused. Okay. I don't know if I'm on board with this. if it has Creature from the Black Lagoon vibes, I'll be down. Will I see it? No.
If it's not connected to anything else with comics, like, if there's no promise of, like, eight different Batmans in it or anything, would you be interested in it then?
Yeah.
Like, if you didn't know it was a DC property, because there's going to be people that may walk into this not knowing it's a DC movie.
Yeah, come film in the Louisiana swamp and
there we go.
You never know what you'll find. Maybe that should be the tagline of their movie.
Maybe he goes down Bourbon Street, gets a hand grenade, you know,
that kind of thing. Falls into the swamp and comes out the Creature from the Black Lagoon swamp.
I think we should take this off air, because these are golden ideas. These are million dollar ideas right here.
I forgot that there was a series of Swamp Thing on the CW. A couple years ago. I completely forgot that. Yeah, it only got one season.
Oh. Oh boy.
That's promising.
Yeah, it does not have the legs that other projects such as X do. Ty West is releasing a third X-related movie. This is really surprising. I forgot that this was actually happening, so I was like surprised when I saw it. But Maxine with Mia Goth, of course, is going to lead this, and she will never be able to break out of this role. Elizabeth Debicki, Moses Sumney, Bobby Cannavale, Lily Collins, Halsey, Giancarlo Esposito, and Kevin Bacon are all in this movie. Courtney, are you a fan of the X movies?
Yes, I saw. I saw the first one. I haven't seen Pearl. That's on my.
So good.
Pearl's better than X, in my opinion.
Yeah.
All right, I'll watch that tonight then. Pearl's on my to-do list. I love this genre. I think it's great. I'm glad they resurrected it kind of in like a positive way. It's getting such good reviews and it's overall pretty liked by audiences. So I'm happy to see where it's going. And the fact that they've like pushed out these movies so quickly and each one is unique and kind of good in its own. So I'm invested. I'll see it.
I
just really hope it is like this other unique movie. Cause it's like, it's strange that this is a trilogy, but because Pearl and X are such entirely different movies, like insanely different. So like the fact that this one I think is going for like the 80s vibe based on like how they're, you know, I thought it was a trailer, but it was just a cast announcement. I got all excited and like texted Joe before, like I was just like, Maxine trailer, and it's like, oh, it was just
like, I can't find it.
I was so excited.
Well, Sean, to that point, it's going back to follow Maxine in the years after X, after the events of X, when she's setting out to try to make it as an actress in 1980s Los Angeles.
It's like, I feel like there's more, I don't know. Like, I was going to say there's more of a connection between Pearl and X, but there's actually probably more of a connection with X and Maxine. I mean, she was not exactly a murderer. Yes, she, like, you know, killed to stay alive towards the end, but you know, Pearl was the true murderer. So it's interesting to see, like, you know, is she going to be a victim in this? Is she going to be a murderer in this? Is it going to be a mix of the two? Is it just going to be entirely different and, like, hardly be a horror movie, which I don't really subscribe to that. That would be a little bit strange. But I just am so excited to see what this could be in general. I mean, Ty West does not deviate from horror. That dude just loves it. He loves living in there. So I think that, I mean, you know, after the goodwill from Pearl, I'm all aboard on this without a doubt.
I wonder if they're going to have her, like, I could see her being like a serial killer or something.
That's somehow. What I want. Yeah.
And I'm trying to see like who she could cross with in LA during that time, but I'm sure they'll come up with something. I'm very intrigued by this. Very intrigued by this. The cast too, like Giancarlo Esposito. What the hell is he doing in this movie?
I love that he's in this. I hope he's just like top brass, like movie producer kind of level. But I think that's going to be Kevin Bacon being the scummy movie producer without a doubt. Oh man.
Well, the picture they have on Deadline, he looks scummy. Like it's
scummy bacon. I love it.
Scummy bacon.
Scummy bacon.
That's pretty good. Last story here. We had talked about this on the podcast a while back. Maybe that was last week and not really a while back. But there's a movie called Hamnet coming out. And this is an adaptation. I believe it's a book or a play, a best-selling historical fiction novel. Imagines the story of Agnes, the wife of the world's most famous writer, William Shakespeare, as she struggles to come to terms with the loss of her only son, Hamnet. And apparently it was like the backdrop for the play Hamlet. Or the book Hamlet. Chloe Zhao is on board to direct this, which is a really interesting choice, and I'm pretty pumped for it. Courtney, Chloe Zhao, she has done wild things like Nomadland and The Eternals, which is a wonderful movie. What are your thoughts on this?
So just based on her filmography, I haven't seen Eternals. Surprise, surprise. I did see Nomadland, though, and I thought it was so boring.
It's true. It is.
Okay, good. Then I'm not alone, because I felt very alone during that time period. I was like, this movie is so... And it won everything. Like, I don't get it. I don't get it. So, I'm curious as to who the demographic is for this. Mm. Like, who wants to see it?
I'm intrigued by it.
I'm intrigued because she's a big name now. Yeah. I mean, she's an Academy Award winning director, but like, I'm curious as to what drew her to this script.
I'm her whole filmography, by the way, is just three films. The first one is The Rider, and The Rider and Nomadland are like these movies that are I personally love, but I don't want to fight with anyone on being boring because it's like, yeah, no, true. I still love them though. But they are very like real and raw because she like there's literally only like one or two actors in each one, and then the rest of the people are just like the actual people that are going through that situation. Which is this risky move to do, but for some reason it does like pay off in the realistic nature of those films. Eternals was interesting. I quite liked Eternals actually as well. I thought that was unfairly maligned. But it was, you know, very like strong deviation from what she usually does. And I like that she took that risk. I was really happy with the way she took that risk. This seems like it's somewhere in the middle. Like Eternals was this like worldwide global special effects driven gigantic like thing basically. And this is going to be not The Rider and Nomadland where it's just like, you know, people hanging by a fire for 4 hours. It's instead going to be something where there is a driving plot there. There is ambition to it. It's a period piece, which she's not really famous for doing. So I think it's going to be like this really interesting middle that we're going to see. And I don't know if you said it, Joe, but when we talked about it, wasn't Tom Holland involved?
He was rumored to be involved. Yeah. And I haven't seen anything about that since. And there's nothing referenced in this here, article. Yeah. But that would be an interesting pairing, Tom Holland and Chloe Zhao.
I would like that because I like when Tom Holland does the, you know, he's fun as Spider-Man. He's fun in Uncharted. He's like fun as the plucky little guy. But I do like when he goes darker and he goes into like some interesting movies. Like I didn't like this movie, but what was it even called? It was something like The Devil All the Time. Oh,
I like that movie.
I was lukewarm on Devil All the Time, but I loved him in it. I thought he was fantastic.
Yeah, he was really good.
He's got like these chops that, you know, he doesn't often use because he's also fun in blockbusters and he's a big name. So I'm not poo-pooing that at all, but I do want to see him like head into something that's a Chloe Zhao movie. I think that'll be interesting. But at this point, that is rumored.
Is it him and Zendaya? Like if they break up, I don't believe in love anymore.
Love is dead.
I love them together.
It is nuts because it's just like both of them with looks, talent, and success. It's like, really? Like, spread the wealth, guys. Come on.
Well, you won't do those ab workouts, so.
That's a good point. Well, because I want to be Fat Pratt.
Fat Pratt.
All right, let's get into rants and raves here. I have a very, very short rave here. Jared Leto, just stop.
Rant.
A rave, I'm sorry. I mean, rant, yes. Jared Leto, just stop.
What did he do? I didn't even know what he did, but I laughed. That's what I saw.
So last night I was driving and 30 Seconds to Mars came on mix somehow. And I remember when 30 Seconds to Mars came out, and I think it was in college when a lot of their music was debuting. And it was fun and good and interesting or whatnot. But just hearing him, he irritates the shit out of me now. And I'm just tired of him. I don't think he's a good actor. I don't think he's good in these movies that he's being tagged for. Anytime that a movie says that Jared Leto is involved, I'm done. I'm not very interested in it. He apparently is a creep behind the scenes. He's terrible to his castmates. And there's just a lot of rumors out there about him that I don't think start unless there's some truth to them.
You didn't like him in Dallas Buyers Club?
I did at the time. I think in hindsight, I don't think he should have gotten the Oscar.
And it gets it gets dicey and after I watched that movie Disclosure, that documentary, that talked about like him sort of playing that role and what that role meant, which was like an amalgamation instead of a true character, I think it was a collection of not even just him, but just the way that role was written that like bugged me. But you're absolutely right though. At the time I was like, hell yeah, Leto. He's kicking ass in this movie. And you know, he's riding on the McConaughey coattails. They both brought their moms to the Oscars, which is always fun. I love that. They wore white tuxes.
I just think he's a jackass.
Since the Suicide Squad, because that's when it like was bad, was when he was like mailing dead animals to like his castmates.
Is he in anything else coming up?
I think at this point he is. Because actors do love him for some reason. Like he got a SAG nomination for The Little Things. Right. He got a SAG nomination. I mean, that almost—he almost got an Oscar for The Little Things. Oh God!
He's in a Darren Aronofsky film coming up.
Oh no!
It's a horror film called Adrift. A fishing boat discovers an abandoned yacht with a strange distress call. A deckhand agrees to take lone control of it while it's towed into port, but soon he discovers why it's called a ghost ship.
Oh, Joe, that means it's only Jared Leto in the movie.
We're dealing with the movie. He's the only one listed right now.
Oh, baby. It's a Jared Leto solo vehicle.
It's in pre-production. He's also in Tron Ares. I forgot about that.
That's not going to happen.
In The Haunted Mansion as the Hatbox Ghost. Which the Hatbox Ghost, like, I think I mentioned this before, but the Hatbox Ghost is a well-known character from the Haunted Mansion rides in Disney, and who has been, like, added, removed, included, removed, and rehabbed numerous times. So people are really excited to see the Hatbox Ghost in this. But now that I know that it's Morbius, I'm not. Little irritated by that. Also, I completely forgot he was in House of Gucci as Paolo Gucci.
Oh, God. I still can't believe that role existed, or that movie. God.
Sean, you have a rave about Frank Castle.
So Frank Castle, a.k.a. The Punisher. I guess my mind would start with a rant where when I see the logo for the, you know, I won't even get political on this one. But like when I see the Blue Lives Matter flag in the shape of the Punisher skull, I get very angry, because it's like you can't really support the Punisher and police. Those are opposite people. That, like, there's just a hypocrisy, there's an inaccuracy in there. So when I see that, that's just someone who's like trying to be badass and doesn't work. So apparently in the recent issue of the Punisher in the comics, I don't really read comic books, but this like somehow hit my purview of news, where the Punisher, like, you know, goes after people that have that logo of the Blue Lives Matter with the Punisher logo. And he's like, you know, that's not who I am. You guys are someone completely different. You are meant to be protecting and serving. I am a vigilante that is like against the law all the time. And so this was just written in some of the comic books, and it's like sort of turning the fanhood on its head a little bit, which is interesting because I think people have misunderstood what the Punisher is. He is an anti-hero. He should not be a role model. And so he should not be confused with the police. Like, however we feel about police, which I know is a hot button issue right now, those two are not synonymous people. Like, and you should not be conflating the two of them. So, you know, my rant is of those dumb, like when I see the emblem being a Blue Lives Matter with the Punisher skull. But my rave is that now the literal author of the Punisher says, that's stupid, stop having that logo, which I just love.
The line from the comic is, I'll only say this once. We're not the same. You took an oath to uphold the law. You help people. I gave that up a long time ago. You don't do what I do. Nobody does. You boys need a role model. His name is Captain America, and he'd be happy to have you. That's very interesting. I wonder what all of those like giant trucks are going to do with the stickers now.
Well, they have to add another set of truck nuts to make up for it. But...
truck nuts. Oh my God. Courtney, rant or rave?
I'm kind of in between.
We love that.
So I started watching the John Wick series.
Here we go.
I had never seen it. And I know. I'm a rant and a rave. I mean, Keanu Reeves can do no wrong. Like, in my heart, he is exceptional. He is the ultimate badass, and he plays that role like so well. My only qualm with it is that, and it's a personal thing, is that I just don't like action movies. I'm not an action girly. So for me, watching it, there's a lot of violence. It's very gruesome. It's very detailed. It's gritty. And like, for me, I'm constantly doing this or this. But I watched three last night, kind of. And yeah. So I think I might go see the fourth in theaters just to kind of finish it out. But so I'm somewhere in between. I think I love Keanu. I'm going to support everything he does. I think he's great. He's marvelous. I'm just not an action girl. But because of him, I'll see it.
Yeah. It's tough because if you're not into action movies, then yeah, the John Wick series is not right for you, because it's like only action.
It's pure action. And it's very... graphic, and it's very well done. It looks real. Everything looks so real. And I know Keanu's doing a lot of his own stunts, or at least Some of them.
Yeah.
And he's just, how old is he? He's so impressive.
He is 60.
No.
I think 59, but like, I think really? Like, yeah, like he's turning 60 very shortly, which the poor guy, like do a rom-com, my man, just take a break on the old bones there.
Yeah. So that's my rant rave. I think he's great. I just can't get into the action, but, 60. Wow. Okay. He's even more impressive than I thought.
Yeah. So apparently he gave his stuntmen as gifts t-shirts that said like how many times they actually like were like their characters were supposed to die on the set of John Wick 4. Like
he seems like a really nice guy.
He's just genuinely great, it seems. Yeah.
I love him.
Let's jump into what's coming out this week. We have The Pope's Exorcist hitting theaters on Friday, Renfield hitting theaters. Sean, you are a big How to Blow Up a Pipeline guy. I believe it just came out this past week. I mean, week.
Don't put that on the internet waves that I'm a big How to Blow Up a Pipeline guy. The movie. I'm really excited for this movie. This cast looks awesome. It's just like, and it's indie as indie hell. And yeah, I'm like so excited for this
movie. I also enjoy that you said don't put it on the internet waves.
Just I mean,
yeah, right. Like, how old are you?
I'm an old soul.
Old soul. And then we also have Mafia Mama,
which is I couldn't sit through the trailer in the theater for that. I said I'm gonna just go to the bathroom again. It is rough.
I'm just gonna go to the bathroom again.
Just gonna go beforehand.
Oh my god. Yeah, so that's all happening this week. That should be fun. Courtney, thank you so much for being here today. You're always welcome back. Obviously, we love chatting with you. But let people know where they can find you, and hopefully they can enjoy the content like we do.
So the most relevant place to find me for movies is at Film Vibes on Twitter. Or you can find me on Instagram at Courtney Kitty. I post most of my movie reactions and clips on my stories. So you can find me there, those two places.
Awesome. Awesome. What is the next movie you'll be seeing?
Probably John Wick 4.
Yeah, baby. Three hours of action. You're going to love it.
Yeah, I was just going to say, I will let you know it is all action.
Or maybe Renfield. I had a missed opportunity there. So maybe we'll see it.
Good old Renfield. I'm so interested by it. It's only an hour and a half long.
Should I do Renfield or How to Blow Up a Pipeline? I feel like Renfield should be the one because that's more popular. But
Renfield's going to be the one we're discussing next week. So
okay. Well, we won't discuss
How to Blow Up a Pipeline. Bring me back.
We'll chat this week.
It premiered at the Overlook Film Festival in New Orleans, and like the director and Nick Cage actually went. Oh, nice. So yeah, no, I arrived an hour early and I still couldn't get in. I was so disappointed.
Yes, that would be really frustrating to me as well. I don't know what to make of this movie. I'm excited for it. I love Nicholas Holt, so I'm excited for that, but we shall see. And it's Chris McKay, right?
The director?
Everyone just went silent. Yeah. Like, yeah, the Tomorrow War is Chris McKay.
Tomorrow War. Oh!
Okay.
Oh, you've talked to him, haven't you?
No.
I thought you did.
No.
Oh.
Did I?
Thought you did. I remember when Tomorrow War came out. Oh, wait, you almost did. Oh, he retweeted you. That's what it was. That's basically
That's what it was. I love the Tomorrow War. My God, what a good movie. What a good movie. All right, Courtney, thanks for being here. We'll see you all next week.
The Guy at the Movies podcast is a joint venture between Math Teacher Movies and Guy at the Movies. You can catch new episodes weekly right here wherever you're listening to this one. Subscribe so you never miss a beat.